And a good Sunday morning, Detroit, and to everyone across the Great Lakes state of Michigan. Welcome to JR Sunday. It's great to have you with us on this day. A lot going on. A lot has transpired, Dave, since we last talked. You look down the road at Michigan State. Kevin Guskowitz is back in the saddle as president of the university. Jay Batt, he has departed on his way to the University of Kentucky. John Palumbo is in as interim athletic director. And there's some drama going on down in Ann Arbor as well. It seems like universities right now are having a lot of challenges, many of them focused on the athletic department, but it's institutions of higher learning have really been consumed by the role that college sports is playing. And it's kind of been a lead focus of both of our universities right here in the state of Michigan.
I'm guessing NIL and the transfer portal are playing such a big role in how the athletic departments are, the funding that goes into them. And, you've got to be, there's no more, hey, we got this great, five-star freshman recruit, and we'll be able to follow him through his whole career. And then he doesn't like what the coach does in game four the first season, and then he's gone to a different school the next year. So I got to believe that being the president and an athletic director at any college these days is got to be a challenge like that we haven't seen before.
No, it really has become much more complex, and it's a topic we always want to get into and talk about. Student athletes well deserving of compensation. We've said that for decades, really going back even to the 60s, when Biggie and folks were on the Michigan State campus. It's an ecosystem that's interesting to watch through the challenges of TV negotiations. Where do donors fit? What role should they play? What does a university get out of it? And there's so much value that's there in college sports for all parties. But it's really become an ecosystem that is going to continue to evolve. And I think it's one that we're going to want to watch very closely on this show, as the nation always also, keeps a keen eye on what are student athletes making? What's the impact on them? What schools are they going to? And it's a topic that's very interesting right now. And it's a very different ballgame than it was when I stepped away from Michigan State in 2018.
When it comes to Michigan State, also news came out about a certain basketball game that's going to happen on Thanksgiving Day at LCA in the afternoon, after we've had a parade in the morning and after we've had a Lions game at Ford Field. And now we're going to have Mr. Calipari in Arkansas come to town at LCA to play Michigan State at like 4:30. Wow.
Right. You got the turkey trot, of course. Tony Michaels has so much to do in the morning.
That's right. Yes.
Turkey trot, the parade. Yeah. We're looking forward to, some of the interaction that's going to go on there. The Final Four is going to be part of the parade this year as they prepare for the Final Four in early April. But you're right. CBS is rolling into town. CBS will call the action for the Lions game that day, and they'll keep the network right here. The eye of CBS will be all over Detroit as they go across the street to LCA and pick up that matchup between Coach Tom Izzo and Coach John Calipari and their teams. They'll take to the hardwood. That'll be one of those games, I think, that will be interesting to help promote and market what's going to happen here in the city of Detroit in April.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's going up against Dallas, and I'm not sure who they're playing offhand for the second Thanksgiving Day game. So that's very interesting that they're going to counter program against that. That's interesting. That's a bold move.
It's a bold move, and generally nothing beats the NFL. But in this case, it'll be interesting who tunes into that one. And a lot of folks today have a couple screens going, though, right? Especially on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for sure.
So it'll be.
I think it's cool. It's going to, downtown Detroit is the place to be. I mean, it's with everything going on, it's great. It's great for the city. I think it's going to be a mess for people that are going to be down there trying to find parking. But other than that, it'll be cool.
Yeah, I think people have found ways, and when you go to events, when they have multiple events at the same venues, you're finding that it's becoming much easier, and folks are finding their way there. The parking is there; it's just a matter of, you know, getting your pace down. I think the events that maybe have more challenges are those that are one-off events. That, you know, it's like if you're a Lions fan, you know where you're going, you know where you're going to park.
Right.
Same with the Tigers, but it's when they have these. You know, where are folks going to park knowing there's a Lions game when a major basketball game is coming into LCA?
That's a big game. That's a big another early season big game for Michigan State. As always, when Tom Izzo schedules these games, or Michigan State, or whoever scheduled this game.
Yeah, Coach Izzo never shies away from those games. Last we met, the Tigers have made quite an improvement, 8-2 in the last 10 games. They're taking on Philly again today at 1:40 before the All-Star break on Tuesday. That game gets played. Three Tigers are in the All-Star game. When you look at All-Star games of all of the major sports, which one has value to you, if any? Like, I know you're a guy who likes numbers, wins, how it shakes out. Do All-Star games matter to you?
Not really. I remember when the winner of the All-Star game in baseball used to get home field for the World Series. I thought that they tried to make it, you know. My favorite event out of all, I have two favorite events when it comes to All-Star. The three-point shootout for the NBA and the home run derby for baseball. The slam dunk contest has kind of lost its luster. I don't know what else they can do. Once you can jump over a car and dunk, I think that jumped the shark, as they say. But yeah. I'm a big fan of the home run derby. I'm a big fan of the 3-point contest. But you know, the baseball game is what it is. You just don't want if you're in contention, or if you're trying to trade somebody at the trade deadline at the beginning of August, you just don't want people to get hurt.
Yeah, I like the way the NHL did it with the nations.
That was cool. Yes,
fun diversion, and I think that captured a lot of attention. But the games themselves, I agree. It's a game. That's a game, and I like the things that are around it that are the one-off, similar to what you. Home run derby, one of the best. We got a great lineup today. There's a big race going on in Washington, D.C. in August. Exciting. We're going to talk with Michael Montrai about that. He's with IndyCar, with Penske, and he has a lot to share with us coming up next. And welcome back to JR Sunday. The Freedom 250 is a IndyCar more than an IndyCar race, but so much going on in Washington, D.C. to help celebrate the nation's 250th. Let freedom rev is the mantra of the race. It's going to take place August 22 through 23. And Michael Montrai is with us. Of course, he's with Penske, with IndyCar, with the Detroit Grand Prix, and so much more. Good morning to you. We've been talking about this for several months. I know you've been planning it for several years, but wow, is this going to be an exciting race as part of the IndyCar series?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on. You're absolutely right. It's going to be a phenomenal event to celebrate our nation's 250th birthday on August 22nd and 23rd. And we've been planning it for a while, but I can tell you the runway on this one is much, much tighter than what we had when we moved, you know, Detroit back downtown from Belle Isle, from when we started planning our new race this year in Arlington. This has been a very fast turnaround, and we're excited to kick it off in late August here.
When you talk about the race, of course, all the circuit is incredible. It's been such a vital part of what the landscape looks like here in Detroit. Of course, the Indianapolis 500 down at the Motor Speedway. When fans watch this one, it's going to be uniquely different. It's, of course, celebrating the nation's 250th. But give our listeners kind of a preview of what to expect, whether you're watching it in Washington, D.C., or you're watching it on Fox, on television. What are they going to see?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to understand is this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. This is a one-time, one-year, we're doing it in celebration of the 250th birthday, and it's not going to happen again. And Fox, our TV partner, is treating it as such. And so is IndyCar, and so are we as the event organizers. It is going to be a giant celebration. First of all, we're bringing with us from the Indianapolis 500 the entire pre-race production team. That is far in excess of what we do at any other race across the calendar. But again, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, we want to make sure it's special. Fox wants to make sure it's special. So you're going to see in the pre-race program that starts, you know, 3.5 hours before the race, every branch of the military celebrated in the course of that hour. You'll see marching bands. You'll see flyovers. You'll see special presentations from some of our partners. It's going to be an amazing display of everything that is going on to celebrate the nation's 250th. If you are watching on TV, you're going to see visuals that are part of an IndyCar race that have never seen and you'll never see again. The Capitol right in the background behind the start-finish line, the Washington Monument as the backdrop in between, you know, turns 4 and 5 of the racetrack. It's a 1.7-mile, seven-turn racetrack around the mall through the nation's capital and around the Washington Monument. The pit lane has the Capitol as the backdrop. I mean, it's going to be visually something that you've never seen. And Fox is leaning into this thing, as I said, with an extra long pre-race. They're bringing more cameras to this than they have any other race other than the Indy 500. It is going to be a spectacular program, whether you're there in person or whether you're watching it on TV.
You know how much I love these events. It's we've been part of several unique experiences where it's never been done before. There's new challenges. Have there been things that you've gone along and kind of both ends, surprises of why we have to overcome this or others of why we get to do this? How has the planning process really played out for you, for Roger Penske, for Bud Denker, who I know all have a hand in what's going on with this race?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. You know, Mark, you've been a part of a lot of first-time events and, you know, big idea events, and you know what comes with those, right? There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of detail, particularly around the nation's capital and all of the challenges that comes with. It's so interesting. Like, when we moved downtown, our racetrack has three different constituencies, right? The state of Michigan owns part of it, the General Motors owned part of it, and the city owned part of it. There in DC, you can multiply that by about 4 or 5. It's amazing how many different constituencies and stakeholders are involved. You know, there's a police department, I think, for every different park there. And so we're dealing with a number of different police departments. We're dealing with the U.S. Secret Service because we expect the president to be there on Sunday. We're dealing with just every agency that you can imagine. They've never done a race before, right? And so the roads are in pretty good shape, but we have construction to do and just all of the details behind the scenes with permits and the number of permits you have to acquire. And it's just never been done there before. So all of it is brand new. We're working our way through it. The stakeholders there, the city, the federal government, everyone has been great to work with. The U.S. Secret Service has been amazing. They've been with us every step of the way to help us plan on the security side. That'll probably be the safest place on the planet that day, I think.
Right.
It's just been an amazing process.
No, I think, you know, when we did the carrier game, we had a submarine, we had frogmen in the water. I think a lot of times people don't understand it. When you go to D.C., just on a normal day, you know, you'll see roads shut down, you'll have ambassadors that are moving through the city, and now you're dropping this race, and it's going to be an interesting one to watch just from that perspective of a normal day in DC is chaos, and now you're dropping chaos on top of chaos.
That sums it up perfectly.
Is there anything happening that before the race, prior to, like in the days, weeks leading to it, that I know Fox is going to do one heck of a great job. Eric Shanks and the team over there are really special people and love the sports that they produce. But anything coming out that maybe fans will be watching for leading up to the Freedom 250 there in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We always have a number of different lead up events and promotions, whether it's for, you know, the general awareness of the event or whether it's, you know, for the partners of the event or or what have you. So we actually start construction there today on our suite structure. It's basically the same suite structure we have in Detroit, but there's a third level on top. It's going to be phenomenal, sitting right on the National Mall with views of the Capitol and the monument. Tomorrow, on Monday, we actually have a partner reception, and we kick it all off with a little festivities at the White House. So we'll have a little pit stop demonstration for the president and some of the staffers at the White House. We have a couple drivers in town, Alex Pillow, Felix Rosenquist, David Malukas, who will all be at the White House tomorrow. We'll give them a little preview of what they're to expect on August 22nd and 23rd. And then tomorrow evening at Fox headquarters, we'll have a very nice partner reception, similar to what we do here in Detroit, just to celebrate the coming of the event and celebrate all of our partners who are making it all happen.
We're talking with Michael Montrai with Penske, with IndyCar. I love calling or texting you and Bud right now, because I went through the same thing. You know, I was like, I'll have to get back to him at the Pentagon. Well, lately, you've always been at the White House, or you've been, you know, on the circuit where you're setting up there. And I'm so excited for you guys, because executing something like this is one of the greatest rewards you can get in the business that we're in. So much appreciative.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, Michael Montrai, Bud Denker, Roger Penske. It's going to be an exciting time, August 22 through 23. It takes place in D.C. You can watch it on Fox, and it's going to be one to watch. We'll be back here on JR Sunday right after this. And welcome back to JR Sunday. Exciting times coming up in Detroit. The Rocket Classic, the 8th edition, gets underway. The event itself is July 30th through August 2nd. But on that Tuesday leading in, there's going to be a special event going on downtown. The likes of Cam Young, Russell Henley, Xander Schauffele, Keegan Bradley, Ricky Fowler, and Tony Finau will be part of the field of the Rocket Classic, but also part of a big event that's happening downtown in Detroit. Overall, for all 8 years, WXYZ has been just an incredible partner in bringing you kind of behind the scenes of what's going on with the Rocket Classic. They've been at the pairings party, they've been on property, and Mike Murray is just an outstanding individual, an outstanding partner. He is the Scripps Regional Vice President, the General Manager of WXYZ, and all around great guy. Mike joins us now. Good morning to you, my friend.
Oh, good morning, Mark. How are you? Thanks for having me
on. I'm doing great. Well, thanks for being here. Exciting times in Detroit, and this is going to be another one. And WXYZ is going to be a part of it. We're going to travel downtown. We're going to send some players up to the top of a 5-story building, and they're going to be shooting golf balls through the city, through Nick Gilbert Way, through the Hudson Building, and have fun with a green down at the other end. And WXYZ is going to be right there to carry all the action along with the Golf Channel on a national platform. So thanks for doing that, and I know you're excited as well.
You know, Mark, we are. I can't think of a better way to kick off the week, right? I mean, you know, as big as it is here in Detroit and around the country, I mean, this will take it to the next level. I mean, to kick off this on Tuesday and really in an unprecedented event. I mean, it really will be something like you think that, you know, these are the kind of things you hear about in Las Vegas, right? These live events, Evel Knievel doing something in the streets. I mean, when you came up with this and, you know, created this idea, I just thought, wow, this is amazing for Detroit, great for the city. But I think eyes from all over the country and world will be watching. So we're proud to be partnering, you know, with you and the Golf Channel and allowing us to bring this to viewers throughout Metro Detroit. It's going to be quite an event.
We just got off the phone with Michael Montrai, and they're doing the big race in Washington, D.C. We have this here in Detroit. And I want to thank, you know, the team that's working on it, not only the folks that we have here, Dean, Buck, you've got Carter, you've got Sean. There's so many individuals that really over the past months have had to put a lot of work into it. But then it's the other teams that come on and partner. So your team, there's a lot of work to put a production like this on. It's not a normal come into the studio and do a show or sit at a desk, you know, out for the NFL draft. This is something you've never done before, we've never done before. And it takes a lot of work by some very talented and good people.
Well, you know, it does. And I'll tell you, you talk about the team, and it is all about the team. I know Bree Gould, our producer, And Tim Kokender, for our news director and station manager, will be leading this effort. And Dan Clark had been working with your team really for months, right, as you've developed this idea. But to see it come to reality is going to make for an incredible one-hour special. So we're really looking at bringing this to, you know, Detroiters and really around the country, as you said, with the Golf Channel nationally, live at 7 o'clock on that Tuesday, July 28th. So just in a couple weeks, people will be able to tune in live and see this incredible event. You know, I will say, too, I do think, and I want to thank you for giving kind of Detroiters a sneak peek. I know we're going to get together this week with you. And if I'm correct, we're going to get up on top of the building with you and Simon Chiquette and give kind of Detroiters a sneak peek of what's going on.
Yeah, Simon will not be hitting any golf balls. I just want to make that clear. Nor will I.
It's, No. And rightly so.
Big thanks to Jared Fleischer and all the folks at Bedrock and the city of Detroit. Enthusiastic, yes, as soon as we came forward. We're talking with Mike Murray. He's the Scripps Regional Vice President, WXYZ General Manager. When you look at the field this year, we're very proud of the players that have signed up or coming in. We've got 10 of the top 25, 20 of the top 50. It's kind of the household names are rolling in from this, from Siwoo to Akshay to Wyndham Clark, Cam Young, Russell Henley, who are ranked third and fifth in the world right now, Xander Schauffele. It's big names. You know, you had Ricky Fowler, of course, Jason Day, he's making his visit in, Hideki. Big names are going to be taken to that beautiful, restored Detroit Golf Club track, and it's going to be one that's very special. It's the last one, but it's also a big time celebration that's going to take place as part of the city. And we're looking forward to all of that.
Well, you know, Mark, I got to tell you, it is the last one and it couldn't be going out, you know, as a bigger event. But I think what can't be lost is what this tournament has done and what Dan Gilbert and the Rocket Classic has done for the city, I mean, and for the community. I mean, that's what really is a privilege for us to be able to shine a light on that part of this too. I mean, you know, families coming out and enjoying this incredible event, but all of it for such a great purpose too. I mean, the give back to the community has been tremendous, and I don't think that can be underscored or lost. And I want to thank you, because for our team, it's been a privilege and will be to be able to shine a light on all the great things that this tournament has done and been able to provide to the citizens and the community and our neighborhoods in Detroit.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. It's over 10 million. I think the focus, you know, when that decision was made to have the event during the pandemic, and the decision was made, let's focus on something none of us really realized at the time, was the digital gap that existed at the time. We were one of the most disconnected cities in America, if not the most disconnected. And today we've become the model of how to flip the script on that. I think most all Detroiters were getting close to full connectivity, and that's remarkable. And then the youth, and from Midnight Golf, which is College Career and Beyond, First Tee, Detroit PAL, it's been tomorrow's leaders that are kids today, along with connecting them in a way. And you've been a great partner in helping, you know, nobody does anything alone. And as soon as you realize you have good partners, and if you work with them, that's when you thrive. And that's what we've done together, along with a lot of other good partners in the city of Detroit.
Absolutely. A lot of pride from everyone in this community and a collaborative effort, as you said, and we're just glad to be a small part of it. But Mark, I really appreciate it, and we look forward to the next couple of weeks and getting together with you this week for that sneak peek of the event, and you know, really starting the excitement as it builds.
Well, that'll be great, and we're looking forward to working with you, and wish you the best. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks, and there's nobody I'd rather be busy with than you, Mike Murray. Thank you so much.
Well, Mark, thanks so much. Have a great day, and thanks for having me on.
You as well. Dave, thanks. Dave, I know you're excited about this thing downtown. The WJR is looking to be down there as well, bringing a lot of the action to folks throughout the evening and throughout the tournament. You'll be on site right there at the Detroit Golf Club. And those are always fun broadcasts because there's so many good people that attend the event or participate in the event.
Ever since you first showed me the renderings for the Par 3 shootout, and I am so excited to be down there with Sports Wrap. They'll be broadcasting from the event, and just a pairings party would be cool to be a part of. But this event of watching them try to hit the target, it's great. I'm very excited. I can't wait to be down there. I think it's going to be so cool. I just hope we have good weather for it.
Well, that's the thing we can't control, but
Right.
you got to plan, and we are planning. And the great thing, after the guys hit off the rooftop, they're going to come down to the green, and we'll have some of the kids from First Tee, some of the kids from Midnight Golf are going to be down there to help finish the hole for them and putt out. And then they go, you know, we go inside for the pairings party, and the teams get to find out which pro they're going to play with, what time they're going to tee off. It's fun to watch, you know, the first tee time for the pro-am is at 6:45.
Really?
And a lot of times that's when the really good players like to play. So it's like that they're making that decision when their number's drawn. Do I want to tee off at 6:45 with, you know, player X, or do I want to wait and tee off at 10 o'clock where I can be, you know, a little more awake, but maybe not have the same marquee guy that's out there with me. So those are always fun to watch the reactions as the number gets called.
Well, if you can't find any amateurs that want to be there at 6:45, I'll gladly I'll gladly throw my name in there to I'll be there whatever time that you want to play in the program. I like playing those things. That's a lot of fun. But
they are fun. The other thing is this field is, you know, as we've had two or three more players that are top 20 players come in that we haven't announced yet, and you continue to watch the field of you know, Sam Burns is in, and Siwoo and Akshay and Hideki, and it's such a good field. It's going to be so much fun to see these guys go out there and compete. On what Tyler Ray has done to this course is just short of phenomenal, and it's going to be a special, special event.
The course is so different. It's so, you got the, he did a phenomenal job of changing the, especially number 10. I don't know why. Yeah. I keep going back to number 10, but number 10 has changed so dramatically. It's just visually alone, standing up on the tee box, seeing that you have to hit over the two bunkers just to get to where the hole turns to the left. And it's like, man,
pretty impressive. That we see it more, but 18 is the other one where the tee box has totally been reoriented. It's on the other side of the service road. It's farther back. They're actually using a tee box for the south course as part of that. It's going to be a cool setup, and fans are going to have a great time. The sight lines have been vastly improved for both hospitality and creating more space for the public to be able to see. A lot of great parking, a lot of great amenities, and we're bringing some new amenities out there that fans are going to enjoy throughout the day. Rocket Classic, it's July 30th through August 2nd, the big event downtown on Tuesday. It's going to be a fun time in the city of Detroit. We'll be back here on JR Sunday or right after this. And welcome back to JR Sunday. Great to have you with us on this beautiful day in the state of Michigan. It's one of those days where you think about, it's been a couple days. Maybe I should get the car into the car wash. Well, there's a gentleman joining us now. He is the CEO of Jack's Car Wash. He's just been named one of the finalists for Entrepreneur of the Year in the state of Michigan and across Northeast or Northwest Ohio. Does an incredible job. There's been a massive growth, and that's reflected in the honor that he just received. John Zimmerman joins us now, CEO of Jack's Car Wash. Welcome, my friend. John, are you with us?
I am.
There we go. I can hear you now. I can hear you now. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here today. Very excited to be here.
That's great. Quite an enterprise you oversee, and I want to just touch on the surface, at least describe some of the growth that Jax has had here in the state of Michigan, in Ohio, and beyond, and how that growth has really transpired in the partnership that you have with the company, with Bruce Milan, who played a strong role, and I know you're close with. How did all this come about, and how are you so good at what you do?
Wow. Okay. Well, there's a lot packed in that question, but yes, Jax was started in 1953 by the Milan family, and in the 1980s, Bruce Milan really took the business to a different level and built Jax to the brand that it ultimately became, serving the Metro Detroit market, especially Oakland County, for all those years. Approximately 4.5 years ago, Bruce decided that he wanted to really notch the growth up, and he ended up partnering with a local private equity firm called TRP Capital Partners. TRP works with companies all across the country in transportation. And this was a natural fit for them. And the fact that most of their acquisitions are not with local companies, it just made a great marriage that they found Jack's Car Wash and were able to basically build a partnership. And about a year after that partnership, I came on and was asked to lead this legendary brand. And our goal has basically been to bring density to our customer base, right? Creating washes where our customers live, work, and play. And that's been a big part of what I've been doing in the 3.5 years that I've been in the position that I'm in.
Is it fair to say one of the strategies in taking care of your car is this isn't a place you go where you just all of a sudden make the decision, I need to go get a car wash. This is almost a maintenance type process where it ensures, because of the convenience, the frequency, where you can go to get a car wash of many of the different locations that you have. It's, I almost view it as something that just becomes routine versus a trigger when you're like, your car is filthy and, oh, I got to go get it done. And it becomes a burden. This is more of a pleasure in the process of maintaining your car as a frequent thing that you do. Does that make sense at all?
It does. You know, your car is your second biggest possession, right? And let's not kid ourselves, right? This is the Motor City. We're proud of our vehicles and we want them to look great. And so by people having, you know, we have 50, there's 57 Jack's locations and 56 of them are in Michigan. So it's very easy for our customers to find a convenient place to wash, because exactly as you described it, most people kind of wash on a maintenance basis. And probably the single biggest aspect of our business is the unlimited club plans that we sell, right? So it's very affordable to be able to wash your car three times a week if that fits into your schedule. And by all of the locations that we have, it just makes it that much easier.
As a leader, as a CEO of a business, you know, I served as athletic director at Michigan State. I'm now with Dan Gilbert down in Detroit, helping elevate the city through sports, through entertainment. Are there areas or leaders that you've really looked back on your growth, on your development, that have helped you in leading a company that's as successful as Jack's Car Wash? Are there people or I guess prior roles that you had that have really made a difference in how you have become so successful in what you're doing today?
Clearly my prior to Jack's, I was in the software business and learned a ton from that. That really has helped me out a lot from where I currently sit today. Just data is something that I've always lived by in running a business, and my software experience gave me a lot to bring to the table. But I was also in the fitness center business, and that gave me a lot in this whole recurring revenue model to truly understand that. When I look about where I sit today, I would go back to, Steve Carroll at TRP Capital has been a great resource for me. We formed a great partnership there, and I have learned a ton from working so closely with what TRP has given me. And another gentleman by the name of Naimish Patel, who has just been a solid mentor to myself that TRP connected me with. He's local in the Detroit marketplace, and he has also really helped shape me and helped me understand different perspectives of leading a company the size of Jack's.
Well, Jack's is one of those locations you'll drive by them frequently, and to hear the stories behind the business, I think, is always inspiring. And I did so last night in an event, and you're one of those guests that I talked to yesterday, and you're on today because it was so impactful talking to some of the folks you just mentioned, and to hear about it, and to hear it's more than getting a car wash, and the way that you've structured it for people is phenomenal. I think your folks that are at the gates represent you in a great job, and that's kind of the last thing I wanted to touch on is, you're the CEO, but the person that's at the gate is on the front line. You have to have the confidence in representing those team members that you have at all these locations to really execute the strategy and the formula that you've put together for these to be so successful?
Absolutely, right? So our MSAs, who are the first greeters that you meet, right? We always say that their first, most important job is simply just to say hello, right? That they've got great relationships with our Unlimited Club customers, right? Who come through our gates, you know, daily, right? There are customers who come through, you know, two, three times a week. And these individuals have become, have great relationships with these individuals, in some cases, friendships that take place, right? And then as you move through our process and go through, you know, you've got a greeter who greets you so it helps get your car aligned and preps your car before it goes through our tunnel. And then we like to say, you know, Jax, if you look at our industry has moved so far away from things like towel drying, because there's a lot of labor involved in towel drying a vehicle, but it's in our DNA, right? We towel dry at every single Jack's location. And we like to say that our towel dryers, they say goodbye, right? They give you that smile. They make sure your vehicle is dry and they send you on your way. And that's the Jack's way of doing things right. And why I think we become such a mainstay in this marketplace. Our MSAs say hello, our greeters get you loaded up and prepped, and our towel drying sends you away dry, and you say goodbye to you, and you go on your way. So it's all part of the family.
I totally relate with that. We got just about a minute left. I want you to respond to this, but when I was an athletic director, I would talk to the ticket office, and I would go, you are the most important people, because folks are forming an opinion, not only of athletics, but of the entire university based on your interaction. Same with your people.
Absolutely. They make the difference. Yeah. They're the ones out there that are meeting all of the customers. I couldn't agree with you more.
They're good at what they do, as are you, John Zimmerman, CEO of Jack's Car Wash. Thank you for joining us on such a fast notice. I appreciate you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Mark.
All right. And we'll be back at the top of the hour. Have some more great guests coming up right after this. And welcome back to JR Sunday. Great to have you with us on this beautiful Sunday in the state of Michigan and right here in the city of Detroit. The Rocket Classic has created opportunities to get to meet, understand, and really partner with some incredible organizations. Black Tech Saturdays is among the top of the list, and they just do an incredible job of, one, creating opportunities, and two, providing the assets to really excel and do great things as an individual, but also for our community. Johnny Turnage is one of the co-founders, and along with Alexa, and they just do an incredible job for people in the city of Detroit that want to advance themselves and want to advance our community. And one of the things I love about it is they really use the game of golf to do that. And they've been a great partner of the Rocket Classic for the entire duration of the event. First of all, Johnny, welcome to JR Sunday. It's great to have you with us once again.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here.
A lot of exciting things going on, a lot of exciting things in golf. You were on recently on WDIV talking about founders of the fairway. One of the things that really resonated with me was 90% of Fortune 500 CEOs play golf, and those that do have earnings of almost 20% more than those that don't. I think recognizing the importance of golf is a really excellent point, but it's also a good way to bring people together to learn more about what it is that you do and the opportunities that you create.
100%. Yes, I'm on the fairway at Bell Out Golf, and it's beautiful. A mix of tech founders, corporate professionals, impact professionals, kind of tech curious people, not only like learning the game of golf, the swings, the etiquette, but being able to kind of bridge between industries. And because of the Rocket Classic, it was our third year doing these, all leading up to a golf outing, and it's been beautiful.
You know, speaking on behalf of the organization where I work, you've got Dan Gilbert, Laura Graneman, Rob Frapier, so many others within the Rocket Community Fund that partner with the Rocket Classic in a way that really brings shared value between what it is that you do and what it is our city needs.
100%. I think one of the things that inspires me the most about the Rocket Classic is the For More Than Impact. The first year we were invited to be a partner, that's where we actually created the idea of doing a beginner golf clinic, because we're like, hey, we're going to have a golf, we're going to have a tent at the Classic, we're going to be a part of this. How many people in the BTS community golf? How many people know what it's like to be on a golf course? If we're going to invite people to come out, let's do a thing. And so we went to host like a small pop-up clinic on Belle Isle, and then 130 people showed up, and we're like, all right, there's far more interest here. Let's explore more.
Talk about Black Tech Saturdays for those that are listening, and maybe, you know, I think I come to the assumption everybody knows what it is, but I maybe not. Describe what it is that you and Alexa really have put together and has become such a valuable asset to the city, and how you go about making that connection between, you know, I don't know what I want to do to people that are just doing incredible things as a result of Black Tech Saturdays.
100%. I feel like whenever I go to talk about the work of Black Tech Saturdays, I go, in the short, we are an economic mobility organization really focused on helping expand access and opportunity in technology, whether it be through building tech, working in tech, and honestly, with everything going on with AI and the new digital tools, just getting people using it. We run different programs, like we have a Bridge to Success program with University of Michigan Center for Innovation, where we're certifying people in AI skills. We do a bunch of entrepreneurs workshops, but I think the most important, most valuable thing we do for the city, our community, our state, and the states that we pop up in, we build community across industries so people can just break down those barriers and go beyond networking to building relationships. And we think of different ways, like how is golf a vehicle? Golf has helped so many of our founders get contracts and build relationships, but because of the Rocket Classic, we've had so many tech executives join us throughout these clinics. We have people fly in from Seattle for this. And so it's really helped kind of build a bridge between worlds and enable people to kind of get further, get faster, whether they're an entrepreneur, whether they're learning, even if they're in their career trying to figure out how do I join that list of 20% of executives who make more because I have a skill like golf.
It's outstanding. You're listening to Johnny Turnage. He's one of the founders of Black Tech Saturdays. As you talk about the national connectivity that you have, but you bring it back to the city of Detroit. This organization really came along at a time where the city was transitioning from manufacturing to more the type of services, the technology, the entrepreneurial spirit that the heart of the city has really wrapped itself around. So it may have become because of the timing, or the timing might have been just right, but what you're doing here couldn't be better in the I guess the whole timeline of the city of Detroit and the good that you're bringing. It's remarkable as you watch this from the position that I'm in of encouraging new growth, of encouraging new business, and you got hands on. You're doing it every day in such a positive way.
Yes, it's a benefit, and I think it's one of those things that I think is why Detroit is so special. It's a lot of really important organizations who are doing a lot of serious and significant work. We get to be a bridge between them, between our work, and grow it, but to help us do that thing that we all know. We want to make the city of Detroit the best place. We want to see it grow. We want to see people move here. We want to see people experience and enjoy it. And I think when you have Rocket Classic, when you have the Rocket Community Fund, Gilbert, the city of Detroit, all of us kind of saying, we want to move this thing forward, that like series of like, just we have a good North Star, that positive energy forces a good outcome and creates these moments where everyone can kind of move a little further out.
Before I let you go, Johnny, I know how excited and proud we are to be a partner with Black Tech Saturdays. How can other organizations, and are you looking for support from other organizations to lean in and be part of what you're doing and the positivity that you have? Again, I want to emphasize on individuals, but in conjunction on our entire community.
Yeah, no. The best way is visit our website. We have forms to get involved, whether it be volunteerism, whether you want to support financially, whether we want to partner on programs. We're going to be doing a lot of work over the next year, actually diving deeper into workforce development. So we're really eager to partner with companies around job pipelines, training programs to really help get people from where they are to where they need to be for the future of work.
You are a difference maker. The city is better because of you, Alexa, and all the people that work with Black Tech Saturdays and have benefited from your program. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you for having me on.
All right. We appreciate you. We'll be back here on JR Sunday right after this short break. And welcome back to JR Sunday. There are so many different organizations and events that really focus on cancer prevention, on recovery, on helping with services for those that have heard those words like me, you have cancer. And it can be a traumatic experience. As you go through the process, you start to learn about ways that you can better yourself, get best prepared to prevent the disease or to live a lifestyle that has positivity to it. Henry Ford Health is a leader in this marketplace in the state of Michigan, and they just do incredible work. They're partnering on a program called Recess Club. It's a Michigan-based women's outdoor wellness community that host events, and they're hosting one coming up on July 18th at Stony Creek Metro Park out in Shelby Township that really focuses on guided movement, wellness experiences, and expert-led discussions about how to take care of yourself, how to be the best. And Dr. Carmen Stokes with Henry Ford Health is very involved with this. She knows much more than I do. And I want to, first of all, welcome you and thank you for joining us on JR Sunday.
Of course. Thank you for having us today.
Let's talk a little bit about this program that's coming up on July 18th and the impact that it can have positively on the mindset of folks around the disease of cancer.
Okay, so this Saturday, we are excited because we are going to be having a wellness event, as you mentioned. And basically, what the event will look like is we're going to start out, of course, after people arrive and check in, with a little bit of a grounding experience. And then we'll have a nature walk, some gentle movement, have some reset time and refreshments, and then we'll have a talk that I'm going to present on cancer prevention and early detection. But that's not it. After we get through that talk, which should be very informative, we also will have some presentations on integrative therapies that we offer through the Henry Ford Health System, such as massage, acupuncture, and a variety of other services. And then there will also be time for question and answers at the end.
And as a physician, why are these type of experiences so important when it comes to managing, preventing cancer? What are the hopes that you get out of a program like this on individuals?
The advantages, first, I do want to clarify, I'm actually not a physician. I am doctorally prepared, but I just want to make sure that we say that. Okay. I'm a board-certified nurse practitioner. Okay. And a PhD.
Okay,
however, the advantages of programs like this are that, number one, you get to be with other people. And as you said, one of the hardest things to do is to hear the words, you have cancer. So having a good support network, research shows, is very helpful to you. Research also shows that there is a good thing about being in nature. It's very healing for us. Physically or physiologically, when we do grounding, it helps to reset the body and electrons in the body. So being out in nature, having the opportunity to be in community with other people and to ask and have questions answered can be very powerful for people who are facing cancer or have faced cancer or just want to find out how to prevent cancer.
No, and through experience, you know, I work with Henry Ford on my personal challenges and extremely positive experiences. The folks that are going through it have friends, they have family that are experiencing it as well. And I'm assuming that this type of an experience is a great situation where if you have cancer, if you're screening for it, you have people next to you that are going to be part of your support system. And I would think events like this would bring folks like that together and go through it together, like you're going to go potentially through it if you ever do hear those words.
Absolutely. I think we try to approach cancer diagnosis as an event for the family system. And sometimes the family system is friends and not biological or blood relatives. But as a matter of fact, we will be addressing that. We are going to have a segment on caregiving, resilience, and whole person healing. So even for those who love and support others with cancer, there's something for them too if they decide to come to the event.
We're talking with Dr. Carmen Stokes with Henry Ford. How do you transition from a one-day event like this into something that becomes more part, I guess, part of your life in a more complete way that you go to this, you learn from it, you engage, you have these experiences, and then the next week, and then the next month, and the next months, you want to continue on with those learnings and how you go about approaching your life on a daily basis.
Well, we do have a lot of different opportunities through the Henry Ford Health System, but that is where I actually come in. So I run the Gavini Center for Cancer Prevention and the Prevention of Cancer Recurrence. And so this is something where we do community outreach. We do one-on-one appointments to help people talk about what their risk factors are, but we also help them walk through behavior changes, lifestyle modification. And of course, all of this is research and science-based information that we're providing, but it's an opportunity. We usually host one lecture at least once a month that's virtual and free. And then we also have a healing arts program through Henry Ford where we do yoga and we do literally art where people can come in and use that to relax and to engage with others.
They say moving the mind and moving the body are so important to healthcare in so many different aspects. Keeping your immune system in a place where you can fight off certain things. This all correlates, I'm guessing, with that, maintaining the best immune system you can for your body, maintaining the best mind, maintaining the best overall body. This is all part of that, right? And it helps lead to a lifestyle that's more than a day, that becomes something that's routine in your everyday life.
Absolutely. It really is a mind, body, and spirit experience. And each component can be very beneficial and positive. Having a positive attitude and perspective, even if you hear those words, having that support system, engaging in eating well, like you said, moving your body, trying to make good choices with health, and having support all together provide the environment for people to go through the process if they're diagnosed with cancer, and then to emerge on the other side with no evidence of disease, with the assistance of their oncologists and other providers.
My fiance is on the board of a group called Hot Pink Helpers, which supports women primarily who have been, I've heard the words, you have breast cancer, and maybe their lives aren't in a place where they can do certain things. All of a sudden, work is more challenging, taking care of your family is more challenging, and they lean in and do that. Organizations like that have become part of the ecosystem of this world of cancer survivors and those that are challenged and battling it today. Those organizations become part of the family, part of the process of not only getting better, but staying healthier even after you've been diagnosed with the disease. Does that resonate with some of the things that you do?
100%. That's a great example of an organization. Lots of people probably have heard of Gilda's Club, just as an example of another organization, but it is absolutely essential to get connected. Community organizations like that often are aware of different programs and resources that are available, opportunities again for people to network. And as new research comes out and information comes out that can be beneficial to cancer survivors and/or their families, they're a good place to share that information as well.
Before I let you go, Melissa Coulier is going to join us next. But before I let you go, folks can come out. How do they find out about Saturday's event? And are there still opportunities for folks to come out and be part of it?
There are still opportunities for people to come out and be a part. I do believe that they can go to Melissa Coulier's website. The registration is free. And as I understand, there are still some seats left. So we hope that people will take that opportunity to register and join. I'm sure they can Google Recess Club, but also she'll probably give the direct email site. But we're excited because we have the capacity for people to join us, and we hope to see them on Saturday.
As do I. And I thank you for all the leadership that you have in this area. It's so helpful to folks, and we appreciate the work that you do here in the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan.
Thank you, and we appreciate your hard work and your support of cancer recovery.
Thank you so much. Dr. Carmen Stokes, she's with Henry Ford Health and does an incredible job with cancer prevention and making sure that we all stay healthy and stay around to be great Michiganders, great Detroiters. We'll be back here on JR Sunday right after this. And welcome back to JR Sunday. Recess Club, a Michigan-based women's outdoor wellness community, is partnering with Henry Ford Health Cancer to host an empowering experience this Saturday, July 18th at Stony Creek Metro Park. As we hear the stories of Jamie Edmonds and, you know, myself, others who have heard the words, "You have cancer," events like this really resonate as a positive experience to not only prevent, but also deal with the dreadful disease that impacts so many of us. Melissa Kouye joins us. She is the founder of it, founded this organization during very trying times in her life. She joins us. Good morning, Melissa. It's great to have you with us on JR Sunday.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Recess Club. It's an event coming up, but it's an organization that really has a far-reaching and positive impact. Can you share with us how this organization first started and why it's such an important part of your life?
Yeah, thanks. So my husband, Dave Kouye, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma over a year and a half ago. And I just, during the treatments of chemotherapy and the long lists of, you know, medication and all of the to-dos and in and out of hospitals, I just kind of felt like I was losing myself in this caregiving role. And just I went on a walk with a girlfriend of mine who was like, "You need to get out of the house." Went on a walk. We stepped in nature and immediately I just felt so much lighter. And then after the walk, it was like a 3-mile walk. I was like, this transformed my whole outlook. And it was the most simple thing, was just stepping outside, taking a moment for myself. And I was able to kind of just like reset my whole nervous system and my body. And then, I realized if this is doing that much for me, you know, I know so many people are struggling with a similar journey or path, or just being fully burnt out and stressed. And so I thought maybe I can invite other women to join me and do the same. And then my husband was diagnosed with the second cancer last fall, almost a year ago to the day of his first diagnosis. And I kind of fell back into that caregiving role. And immediately I was like, okay, I need to do what I know best and step outside of this. And so I started Recess Club back up and started adding more experiences. So I offer a couple walks a month for, you know, free meetups. And then also there's these other experiences that we do as well, that, you know, maybe kayaking or other adventures to just, you know, really immerse yourselves in real person experiences and connecting with each other in real life over social media and just getting back to community and unplugging.
It's my fiance is on the board of a group called Hot Pink Helpers that engages women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer. And what I love about this organization is the connectivity that they have with women who are going through these challenges. They take the check personally and become part of their lives so that they can get through taking care of their family, get through not being able to be at work as frequently as maybe they have in the past. And it's that, I think I'm broadcasting today from Boyne Mountain, which is the ultimate in outdoor walking and experiences.
Yeah.
But I'm beautiful. Also, you know, yeah, it is beautiful. I'm also reflecting on being outdoors, being part of the experiences that you're creating on Saturday, but also the connectivity, the talking with people, the not being isolated. Both of those things are really important to individuals like myself, like others who have heard the words. And if you sit alone and you sit inside, it's depressing, and you get down, you get down on yourself, whether you have it or you're helping someone that's going through it, right?
Yeah, and pairing up with Henry Ford Health on this one is just amazing, because they've been our, you know, this chapter, and I'm just a huge believer in, you know, Eastern and Western medicine walking hand in hand. And that's exactly what this event brings. It's about prevention. It's about post-therapy, whether that be, you know, walking, massage, acupuncture, all of the things that are kind of like just, you know, being able to meet each other in the middle and shake hands and creating a strong foundation is always going to be such an important part of your health of, okay, what can we do to prevent it? Because then when you do get that call, your body is stronger and more resilient to handle the actual treatment that you're going to, you know, be up against. So, yeah, I mean, Dave and I, my husband, after being diagnosed, it was like, okay, what can you do? And a walk after dinner walk was kind of like, you know, the activity that he could do, since he wasn't able to get on the ice and skate and do things that he, normally would. So, you know, the power of a walk is just insane. It's incredible.
Yeah. Dave Rieger, who is the producer, we have a friend, who is on the morning show here on WJR, Jamie Edmonds, who is going through the battle right now herself and is talking about the story, and that's become therapeutic for her, like it has for me, is to share. Dave, you and my heart both are there with Jamie every day.
Yeah, 100%. My mom is my mom's 83 years old, and she's a cancer survivor. She survived colon cancer at 38, and she now has been, she's good now. She's still going strong at 83. So I think it hits.
Good for her.
I think it hits close with everybody in every part of our lives, whether it's personal or professional, and anything that any groups like you have going on are just helpful, and it's really good.
Yeah. Melissa, one thing, Dave, your husband, was, you know, so many of us were fans, but at the same time, he inspired so many through his battle and his challenges and the way that he was very visible about that with you by his side. And now you are carrying the torch of creating comfort and connectivity with folks that have the disease. And it's to be applauded, because we need you in this world to be part of. And hopefully we're there for you in this process too, because it's not easy after losing a loved one. I know that as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. That means a lot. I mean, anything that, you know, we've also experienced great loss in our family with cancer. And it's one of those things where, once it knocks on your own door and, you know, enters your home, you realize how can we help rather than isolate. And that's one of the great things too. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I've heard Jamie talk about that as well. It's like, you know, it almost gives you this like purpose to encourage people to get, you know, checked out and to have your tests regularly, get your colonoscopies and kind of get those screenings taken care of and done. And if that can lead to one person having early detection, then everything's worth it, right? Just, you know, if all of this work and awareness helps one person, then, I mean, what better gift?
Melissa, I have one question for you. How big of a role does being positive and the emotional part of when you get the diagnosis, how big of a role does that play in, I think that people don't quite understand in, when you're going through the treatments and trying to beat the cancer.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, because I think your mindset is a huge factor. I mean, mindset and community was kind of like, I would say, our biggest number one tool in the toolbox, so to speak. Yes, like we definitely made sure that, you know, diet, nutrition, movement, all those things were in place. But if the mind can really bring you into a dark space, which then can put your body in a disadvantage versus, you know, keeping that positive mindset. And that's a really difficult thing to do during some of the most darkest days of, and so it's having people around you that are, that you know are going to make you laugh, that are going to encourage you, just as like my friend, like, you know, encourage you to take that walk and to like boost your endorphins to keep the mindset strong, because it's a very big challenge to keep your mind in the space that's going to help the healing rather than, you know, add to the pain of the body. So innately my husband is a very, you know, funny person and positive mindset, so that worked in his advantage, and we just had such a great outcome because of that. But yeah, I mean, it was his buddies who were calling him and making him laugh, and that's a huge advantage to having, you know, those people around you that aren't going to necessarily be negative. They're turning that positive switch on for you. So great.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa. We wish you the best on the event on Saturday. Recess-club.com is where you go for more information. Founded, we never grow out of the need for a reset. We just stop giving ourselves permission to take one. Great mindset, and we appreciate you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. We'll be back here on JR Sunday to wrap it up right after this. And a big thanks to all the folks out at Tryon, David Stone, the entire team out there for all the great work that they do in HR. They help small business, really approach HR needs so that you can focus on the job it is that you do. And they're an incredible asset, a growing platform, and so many folks rely on Tryon, which is their little jingle. Dave, great show. We covered a lot of things today, from the IndyCar race that's going on in DC as part of the nation's 250th celebration. Of course, the Rocket Classic and the fun activities going on downtown as part of Par 3 in the D. Talk to Jack's Car Wash, which is really good, I think, for any business leader to listen to the comments of John Zimmerman and how he approaches. We had Black Tech Saturdays, and then of course, wrapped up with some incredible conversations with Dr. Carmen Stokes and Melissa Coulier, talking about cancer prevention and the like. A lot of great topics. More importantly, a lot of great guests that really had some powerful things to say. And we appreciate both our guests and our listeners in such a positive way to make this show so special.
Well, I've been waiting all week to have a question for you, my friend.
Uh-oh.
I need to know what your thoughts are on this. Tarek Skubal, now that the Tigers are back in the race, we're one day away from the All-Star break and less than half a month away from the trade deadline. Are we buyers or are we sellers if you're the Detroit Tigers?
I think where we're at right now, you have to be buyers. You have to
really
focus on this season. Oh,
knowing
yeah.
that you're going to lose him for nothing at the end of the year.
I look at individuals who really become the heart, and I know sports has changed over the years, but I look at individuals that are the heart of what an organization and a city is about. He has become a great player in the city. The city has enjoyed him as a great player. And when you lose that heart, it's how do you replace it? And does that replacement come in a short period of time or a long period of time? And, you know, I think there's obviously going to be money out there. There's going to be opportunities for Tarek. Do you want to get something out of it? If you know he's going to go, yeah. If there's hope that he can continue to be part of the city of Detroit and part of the Tigers organization.
I think that something happened to, hold on, Mark. My question, though, is when it comes to Tarek Skubal, though, I think that the Tigers pitching staff can probably be okay without him. And I think if they do happen to make the playoffs, that I feel like they could still do well, you know, even if he's not there. So I say trade him while you can get something for him.
Yeah, that's the difference between you and I, though, right? That's
well,
that's good. It's not bad.
That's why I wanted to ask you the question, because I know you are the eternal optimist when it comes to the Detroit teams, and I wish that I was the same. I wish that I could be the eternal optimist. But I feel
I'm the guy who can rattle off the lineup from 84. I mean, it's like I come from that era where you grow up with people and they're the people you want to be with. And
those days are done.
You're seeing it in the NBA right now with guys, you know, shifting around and moving, and you know, Gary Harris coming back to the state of Michigan and being closer to coaches.
I knew you were going to mention that. Yeah, of course.
Left Michigan. I mean, he came out of Michigan State in 2014, I think, and now Coach Izzo gets to help him at the end of his career, and it's going to be fun to have Gary in Detroit. But that's on the bigger picture. This is what's happening in college sports. You can move around. You don't have to stay at the same school that you signed up for. It's been happening, and even stronger now in professional sports.
I figured that you would. I figured that would be your answer when it came to Scoobal. I just feel like they just need to go and get what they can, and I think that with the rotation, at least the way it's been going so far, I think they will be okay. I think they could be okay without him. I think that they could do. I think they still could do pretty well. I mean, obviously, he's a back-to-back Cy Young Award winner, and obviously, he went through a little bit of an injury this year where he was gone for a little bit. But he is the heart of the team, and I understand that. But
Stafford went to LA, and we're doing just fine with Jared Goff, right? He elevated the game, so you can make change and have differences. But same thing's going on with Dylan Larkin and the Red
Wings.
That's
another one. You know, that's another one. Dylan Larkin now has had to add to his list because obviously Yzerman couldn't make a deal with the three teams that he had on the original list. So now he's added Dallas as a fourth team. So maybe they can make a deal there. Otherwise, maybe he comes to training camp with the Red Wings. And at that point, do you strip him of the C and he's not the captain anymore? And do you give it to Mo Sider, or does nobody have it?
And that's all a locker room thing.
How do the players deal with that?
Right. Do the players understand what he's doing, or do the players go, "Wow, you just want to jump ship?" I mean, those are things we don't know. Those are things that go on in the locker room that are part of the dynamics.
Let's be honest. It's all about the dollar, is it not? I don't think there's anything about staying with the team for your whole career anymore. It's all about I'm going to get as much money as I can. And I can't blame anybody for that. Can you blame anybody for that?
No, it's a profession. It's their job and it's their livelihood. It's not playing for the little league team down the street.
I'm not going to get mad at an athlete for trying to get as much money as they can, just like I don't get mad at the salaries of athletes. You hear that all the time. Oh, the players, they get paid too much, and now they've priced us out of being able to go to games. I go, It's whatever the market bears. How can I get mad at that when a small percentage of the population is able to do what they do? So how can I get mad at somebody that is trying to maximize as much income as they can? That's never bothered me.
As a fan, though, who are you supporting? Are you supporting the Detroit Red Wings, or are you supporting the collection of players that are part of that? See, back in the day when I was growing up,
you support the team.
Right, and back when I was there, the team, when you think about those 84 Tigers, the team were the guys that you supported. They were the team. Now today, is the team a brand? Is it the Tiger, the Red Wing logo? Is that what you're supporting? Are you supporting the owner? Are you supporting the building? Is it the city? Like, what is it you're attached to as a fan that really connects you? Back in 84, it was those guys on the field.
Right. And,
you know, from Willie Horton, Gates Brown, Norm Cash, you go through the Tiger legacy. Those were the team.
Right.
Today, you're right. It's changed dramatically and it's not the same. And the team is a brand. You're supporting a brand.
Correct. But that's your team. So whoever plays on that team and however much you're playing that player to play on that team, you are going to support that team and you want to get the best that you can get.
No, it's wow. That went fast. That was a good segment. I agree with you in many ways. A big thanks to Dave Rieger, our producer, Brian Morton in the studio, all the folks at Tryon, and those of you listening, the Inside Outside guys. They're coming up next. We got some big movies coming up. The Odyssey, Spider-Man. We didn't even get into those, but I know Dave's either already seen them or will see them this week. Thanks to all of you for joining us here on JR Sunday. Have a great week. Enjoy it. And as always, keep driving, Detroit.